Hey everyone, Brian from All Day Ruckoff here, and today's podcast episode is with Taylor Weldon, where we talk about the brand new GORUCK Karyology Collaboration GR1 called the Gorilla X. Taylor Weldon is a senior editor for Karyology, and he's the one who is always posting the pictures of Karyology Collaboration packs in their Facebook group. I met him back at SHOT Show years and years ago. He had a triplot design light speed that had a bunch of Cobra buckles on it. And I remember thinking that the price of the Cobra buckles on that pack was probably more than the price of the pack itself. So I remember him from there, reached out to him, and we hopped on a call to talk about this GR1 collaboration between GORUCK and Karyology. We started the call talking about his history with bags, design work, how he met Jason back in 2008, and he's got a couple awesome stories there if you're curious about GORUCK history. Then we talk about him working with Karyology, and then finally this Karyology Collaboration GR1 pack. If you haven't seen it, check the show notes. I've got links to the announcement on Karyology's website. We do a decent job explaining the pack in the podcast. It's essentially an all-black GR1 made of a Dyneema fabric instead of Cordura. It has orange accents on the inside. It comes with a metal patch. There's a couple other differences as well, but generally, if you can just picture that in your mind, that's what we're talking about here. And the thing that I'm excited about with it is the move to the Dyneema fabric. I've got a couple packs that have, you know, Dyneema fabric, and it's definitely different. I'm not going to say that it's better or I like it more than Cordura, but I'm just excited to see GORUCK expand, you know, their fabric offering and kind of test the waters with some different stuff. You're listening to the All Day Ruckoff podcast, episode number 164. Thank you so much for the support. Thank you for downloading this episode. It's been quite a while since I've released a podcast, so hopefully I didn't butcher that intro too much. I appreciate you giving a listen, and here is the interview with Taylor Weldon. You first ran into Jason back in 2008, talking about the original design for a bag for him. I'm curious, when did you start working with Karyology?
Karyology was founded in 2009, and I joined on basically right after it became a thing. And like I joined in like a few months after it became a thing. So it was like right around that transition time, like the 2008 GORUCK stuff kind of like bled into that.
Yeah, they've been around for a while.
Yeah. And I've been writing, you know, basically probably since like early 2010, like just a couple months after they, you know, started. And I was kind of like by accident.
Really? So did you reach out and ask if you could write for them?
Yeah. I was doing freelance as I was doing, you know, when Jason hit me up, and I hit them up for total selfish reasons. I was like, you know what? I'm a bag designer, and maybe they'd be interested in talking to a bag designer about, like, you know, what it's like, you know, to write for a bag designer. Or a bag designer's like input on the process or something like that. And that was like my kind of pitch to, like, I was just looking for additional clients because I was broke, and it was like during the economic downturn. So I was like, man, this website's pretty cool. Maybe they'll want to talk to me, and then maybe people will find me. And then I wrote the first article, and like, hey, that was a cool article. And like, again, it was, Karyology was just a blog back then, like a blog. Like that's all it was, like some dude sitting around in the basement. And like, yeah, we got some other guy that wants to write for us. Sure, why not? And then I just kept writing.
So I'd love to take a step back for a second and just ask, you know, why bags? What made you, you know, just get into that?
Man, that's a good question. So I studied industrial design. I went to Savannah College of Art and Design to become an industrial designer. And I've always been an artist my whole life. Like as a kid, you know, I'm always like, you know, big into art and drawing and sketching and building and 3D and stuff. And I didn't know that you could go into a career that you'd be able to actually make money off of art. I didn't know that was a thing, like other than being, you know, a starving painter, you know? And so I studied industrial design, And there's the big three, as they call it. And it's cell phones, cars, and sneakers. And that's like what everyone wanted to do, one of those three. And none of those three really interested me. Like I appreciate the design of all three of those things, but I didn't want to do that for the rest of my life. And it was just bags for me. I was always into bags, like ever since forever. And I can kind of wax romantic about why I love them. And it's because I think they represent freedom. And like, if I have a bag, I can leave the house right now and I can go on a hike. I can go camping. I can go travel to Japan. I can like, an empty bag is full of opportunities and, you know, I can do so much with it. But if I don't have a bag, I'm not going to Japan. I'm not going to go hiking. I'm not going to go camping because I can't. So it kind of embodied that for me. And for my senior thesis, my professor, you know, you get to design whatever product you want for the first time ever. And normally you're given an assignment. Okay, you're going to design a blender. You're going to design this or that or whatever. And I was kind of panicking. I was like, what the hell am I going to design? And I'm a broke college student and all sorts of stuff that I want, like product-wise and gear-wise, and I can't afford any of it. So I was always into going to the hiking store in downtown Savannah and wasting the salesman's time because I couldn't afford anything. But I'd just be like, hey, tell me about this backpack. And so I'm freaking out about what to design for my senior thesis. And I was like, you know what? I'm stressing out. I have all these stupid ideas. I'm going to go to my like happy place and I'm going to go to the hiking shop and I'm just going to stare at the wall and just like kind of zone out of all the bags. And I'm staring at all these backpacks and I'm like, man, what am I going to design for my senior thesis? What am I going to design? Look at all these backpacks. They're so cool. What am I going to design? Oh, shit. I'm going to design a backpack. So like, that's how I like got my feet wet in this whole industry. And you know, it's funny. My very first bag that I designed was with the guys from Granite Gear, Dan Cruikshank, and man, I feel terrible. I forget the other gentleman's name. They've since sold it. And Wayne Gregory, they helped me make my first backpack. And then once you have a solid, you know, thesis project, that's kind of where your career is going to go, because that's going to be your best project. And you know, brands that are interested in hiring you, they're going to look towards that project. So if I would have done sneakers, my best project is going to be a sneaker. So then brands, you know, we're going to see that and be like, oh, cool, this guy's a sneaker designer. So that's basically how I got into bags, was that hiking backpack I designed all the way back in 2006.
And so after you designed that bag, you know, you graduated, did you start working for a company or did you jump right into freelance?
Man, so that's funny. You know, as a young, dumb college student, you know, the world's promised you if you go to college, you're going to have any job in the world. You have to go to college. You know, it's the thing that America teaches you. You'll be totally unemployable if you don't get a college degree or whatever. So I bought into that lie and I got this fancy degree from a fancy design school. And I'm going online and I'm just like looking up jobs. And I remember, I'll never forget, I looked up a job and it was a design director position at the North Face in Colorado. Or no, so I was in California at the time. They've since moved to Colorado. And I was like, oh, sweet, design director position. Which for those not familiar, a design director is like, you have 10 plus years, like being a designer in the design game, like in the industry. But I didn't know that because I'm a young, dumb, you know, recent graduate. So I email my resume in and I'm like, oh, sweet. You know, I'll probably start at $150,000 and like, they'll probably hit me up like the same day. You know, they're like, they'll be desperate to have me. That's stupid. And I didn't hear back from them, you know, cause obviously they're getting a bunch of actual qualified candidates. And I was like, huh, the North Face never responded about that job that I'm totally qualified for. And they never responded. I'm like, okay. So then I'm like, I start going down, you know, lower and lower, like senior designer, which also unqualified for, and then junior designer, which I'm barely qualified for. And like, there's no bites. And I'm like, oh man, this was all a lie. Like you just can't, like, I was like cocky of me to think that I could just get a job. But I started freelancing like where I could get it, because I didn't have any name for myself out there in the internet. The internet was a different place back then. So I created a portfolio, and I guess I got like one or two freelance jobs that were really small. I was like charging like $15 an hour, which is like absurd to think about that, for like doing this high-end work. And I don't even know if those went anywhere. But then this company down in Orlando, Florida, they hit me up, and they were a camera bag maker. They're called Nano Pro. And I went there as a full-time industrial designer making, you know, pennies, being their in-house designer. And I didn't know this, but, you know, I was just a young, dumb, recent grad, but I was into bags. It was perfect. I wanted to make bags, and I got a camera bag designer position. Sweet. So I've never designed a camera bag before, but in my opinion, looking back on it to this day, camera bags are the most difficult bags to make out of basically all bags out there, unless you get into like some really crazy specific niche stuff. But they're really complicated because they have to fit 3D objects, you know, like a puzzle in this void of space, and they have to be accessed, you know, in a certain way. And like, you had to research certain camera bodies. I wasn't even I was into photography, but I couldn't afford any of those cameras because I was, you know, young and poor. And it was really difficult, but I like cut my teeth, you know, designing camera bags, which looking back on it was, I'm really happy about, because it was, I'm like learning on the most difficult projects and, you know, products that there were. So that was, it was kind of nice. And then after that, I was freelancing for a little bit, and I ended up moving to Austin, Texas for another full-time job for a company called Pacific Design. And they quickly went bankrupt. I guess there was some sketchy stuff happening financially that no one knew about. But yeah, it was always kind of like freelancing. And I think it was shortly after that is when Jason hit me up.
And so you must have been updating your online, you know, your website, your profile, because Jason was able to find you in the design world.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it was a little bit of a mixture of both. And I'm like, not tooting my own horn, but it's because it's such a niche category of what I was doing. Like I told you, everyone wanted to design cell phones, sneakers, and cars. That's what industrial designers are, you know, and home goods too, I guess. But when you, at the time, I know this at the time because my one friend showed it to me. If you typed in soft goods industrial designer, I think I was the first person that showed up, and I don't know anything about SEO and anything like that. It just was like, those were the only keywords. I was probably one of the only people online that had those keywords in my portfolio. So it was relatively easy to find me, even though I didn't have a super deep body of work. So Jason must've been finding me or looking for those terms, and, you know, found someone that looked, you know, at least halfway decent, and he hit me up.
And so you met with Jason back in 2008, which is, you know, as many people know, well before the GR1 was even made.
Yeah, yeah. And man, so he hit me up and he said, "Hey, Taylor," I actually just went back and I found the original email. It's funny to read, even to read how I wrote back then, and, you know, like talking to a stranger who now Jason, I consider my friend. It's like, you know, "Hey, Taylor, I'm looking for someone to design this bag for me for this bag brand I'm going to launch. I'm thinking about calling it GoRock, and I'd love to talk to you." And so he, you know, after a few email exchanges, he flew down to Austin, and we met at the Holiday Inn down on Town Lake, and we were drinking Budweiser's and kind of rambling about this idea that he had, this company called GoRock. And I mentioned it in the design article for our upcoming collab, which I'm sure we'll talk about later. But at this point, I was meeting a lot of different entrepreneurs, you know, that they had this big idea. You know, maybe it's at 3 a.m. and they're sitting on their couch and like, "Oh man, I got an idea. I'm going to make a baby diaper bag that looks cool. Okay, cool. That's my idea. It's going to be awesome. Okay, cool. That's a $1 billion idea right there. I'm going to hit up this guy that I found online. Cool. We're going to become billionaires." And it's not necessarily how things work. You know, it's just like, "Okay, cool. I have this idea. I have no funding whatsoever. I have no ideas how to make this a reality, but you're a product designer and you'll figure it out. So cool. When do we get rich?" And like, I dealt with a lot of people like that. And, you know, that's fine, but they just, it wasn't a reality thing. You know, like I take a lot of these calls and, you kind of know, okay, this guy doesn't have a plan. But with Jason, I'll never forget this guy. He had the crazy in his eye. And that's the way I describe it. It was full on crazy. And I remember he looked me straight in the eye when we were having this first meeting. And he's like, he told me about his background. He's like, Taylor, this project or this brand, this is going to work. I'm going to make this work. This is not going to fail. I'm going to do anything and everything it takes to make this work. And like, I'm like a young man at the time. And I'm like locked in eyes with this guy who's like ex-special forces. He's like this badass. And I'm like, whoa. This dude is going to do it. And I 100% believed him. I had no doubt. And that's the kind of determination it takes. And like, I give Jason tons of credit. He's a visionary. He's excellent at what he does. And he made it happen. There's not too many other people that could say that to me. And I believe them. But I believed every single word that he said that day.
That's a great story. And it's funny, you know, you kind of bring up meeting with all these entrepreneurs and, you know, there are a lot of them out there who they have an idea and they think that because they have the idea, you get to do the rest of the work.
Right. Yeah. Ideas are cheap, man. Ideas are extremely cheap. Like I have hundreds of ideas and, you know, thousands of people that hit me up and say, hey, I got this idea. But unless you're willing to put in the work, and that's what Jason, that's the difference. Is Jason was willing to put in the work. You know, just because you had an idea and you write it down on a slip of paper next to your nightstand, that idea isn't worth anything. And we all have ideas. And until you are willing to, you know, like take a loan out. That's why I asked some of these people, I was like, do you have any budget for manufacturing? Like, no. I'm like, it shows me that you're not willing to take a risk for this grand idea that you believe in so much that's going to make you billions of dollars. If you're not willing to go to the bank and say, I want to take out a $20,000 small business loan, if you're not even willing to take that risk on your idea, that means you're not willing to take a risk on this. Like, this isn't a good idea. If it's that great of an idea, you'll risk death. You know what I mean? Like, but he was ready. He was ready to do whatever it takes.
And so you worked with him, you know, a little bit for the first few months, but then it sounds like you guys might have, you know, parted ways.
Yeah. So basically we had that meeting at the Holiday Inn. And I did some initial sketches on these napkins, which it's funny. He told me some of those ideas, they actually made it the whole way through into the GR1. These like super, you know, funny little napkin sketches. And there's some cool things that came out of that. But basically what Jason was looking for was like someone that could design, prototype, and manufacture the bags. Where me, a relatively inexperienced designer, I could design the bags and then I could connect you with the manufacturer and then oversee the prototyping process and kind of help you through manufacturing. But he kind of wanted a turnkey solution, which I was not that person at that time. You know, things have changed and I've gotten better and, you know, so is Jason. But, you know, we didn't really like part ways. We're still amicably and, you know, it was awesome. I, again, still call him a friend and I'm honored to call him a friend. But, yeah, it was cool. You know, some of the things made it through. And it was funny to see those napkin sketches years later.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I saw those when I was down at headquarters. I didn't realize that, you know, you had drawn those out, but they're still around 13 years later.
Yeah, that was a total shocker to me. I mean, we went down for a Carryology meetup down in at GoRuck headquarters, and I got there late. It was kind of a bummer. There was some tornado in Kentucky. I was flying from Austin to Florida and there was some tornado that screwed up all my flights. And I like got there super late. Cause like the meetups are just like hang out, you know, just like kind of bullshit, drink some beers and, you know, you're at a brand's headquarters. And Jason was kind enough to open up GoRuck HQ for us. And, you know, I got there like 3 hours late cause the flight was so delayed. And it was like, people had just been sitting around for like 3 hours. And like, I guess some of them were waiting for me to get there because I had these patches. They're like limited edition patches that if you show up, then you can get them. So a whole bunch of people there, they're like, okay, we're gonna call it. So it's just Jason and I hanging out and it's like, hey, I have something to show you. Like, you know, what is it? Like we talked about earlier, he's got all sorts of crazy stuff laying around that headquarters. It's like weird prototypes that'll never see the light of day and all, you know, all this cool stuff. And he goes over and he grabs this photo off the wall. And that just blew my mind because I recognized the drawing, like the style of drawing and my handwriting. And I was like, that's from that bar hotel in 2008. It's like, yeah. It's like, it even says, I like wrote down like the patch for the front of it. The golden ratio is this thing that occurs in nature. And it's like, if you use it properly, it's things are going to look beautiful and like perfect. It's just the way the human eye accepts things. So I wrote 1.6:1, and that's the, you know, the approximate dimensions of that front Velcro patch, which is their logo in a sense, in some ways, their secondary logo, the backwards American flag. And it was cool to see that, like, that still existed. I was just like, well, this should be in a garbage pile somewhere. Like, he's like, no, I kept those.
You know, it's true that 3-inch by 2-inch, you know, Velcro rectangle on packs, I mean, that is like the second logo, because you see that on any bag. And the first thing I always think of is that something Gorek made?
Right, right. It might be, but like, or sorry, it might not be. Like, those patches are around. There's all sorts of different size patches. You know, like there's the thin ones, like the name tags for military, and there's the 2x3s. There's all these different things. But I got to say, I kind of give credit to Gorek to making that like the new standard. Like those round patches before that, there's all sorts of different patches. But now it's like part of the DNA of like Kerry and, you know, brands and like patches. Like if someone's going to make a patch now, it's 2x3. That's the way it is. And I think it's because potentially the Gorek is so popular in the GR1 and the GR2 and all, you know, all their products. But if you want a patch, you want to put it on there. And it's wild.
So, I mean, speaking of Gorek's popularity, I mean, you are, you know, we kind of talked about your coming up into the world of bags and backpacks. But you have since been just entrenched in the world of backpacks, you know, for all the writing you've done for Kerryology, all the work you've done with all these other brands. What has it been like watching Gorek grow from, you know, hanging out with Jason at a hotel bar in 2008 to where they are now?
Yeah. I mean, I got to say, like, you know, this is like my life. I dedicated my life to this stuff, to carry, as we call it, which is both a noun and a verb. That's the way we carry stuff and the products themselves, like backpacks, EDC gear, it's carry. And, you know, this is my life, and I live this stuff. And I remember back in 2006, 2007, like going onto Google, which is, that was even a new thing back then, man. like, you know, I use Google web search. That's the best one. People are like, no, Ask Jeeves is better, you know, but I'm on Google. I'm typing in backpacks. Like literally that's the term I'm searching on Google and like trying to find anything new. Like, and of course you got all your big brands that they're doing great stuff, but they're just different. Like, you know, you had your Osprey, you had your North Face, you had Black Diamond, you know, all the, you know, the outdoor brands, Gregory, Granite Gear, but like, they're like hiking bags and like, there's NKs for like Tumi, but none of these brands existed. Not Gorek, not Peak Design, not Evergoods, not what else do I got here? Like, you know, just all the bags we know today. And it was just a totally different time. And like the world was waiting for like a cool ass carry brand to exist. And I just search endlessly for it to exist. And I got to say, man, like meeting Jason and like I told you, like, meeting the stranger who's like, I am going to do this. I got to say, like, I'm super happy for Jason and super happy for Gorek and like super stoked on their success. But like part of me, it's not surprising because like I believed this dude when I met him. So it's like, it's so cool to see them start from nothing. Like they post their annual income report, you know, and it shows like $0, $0, $0, and like 50,000 the first year or something like that. It just skyrockets. But like, yeah, like I'm not surprised that they did so well because it was such a brilliant idea and the world was just thirsty for something like this to be created. Like it needed to happen. It was just waiting to happen. And he was the visionary to see that and be like, this is what needs to exist. And he filled that gap perfectly.
Yeah, it really seems like he launched that bag at the perfect time.
Yeah, I agree. Like when I was searching on all those years for a backpack on Google, that's what I was hoping to find. Like that exactly thing. That thing was just waiting to happen. And like I even did some sketches for another client and like looking at those sketches for a different client, I think it was before Gorek, they're like similar design. It was just like a simple badass bag. And I think my designs that I submitted to that client, they were like a little flamboyant in a way, like using some crazy materials, like reds and like kind of flashy stuff, because that's all I knew. It just took someone to like see through the ether. People just want a simple, brutally tough, badass bag that can go from A to B to X, Y, Z.
Absolutely. So you mentioned that you recently had a Careology meetup down at GoRec. You know, you talked to Jason, you saw the drawing on the wall. What was it like talking to him? I mean, just thinking back to 2008 to now, you know, how has his attitude changed? You know, do you see a lot of what you saw in the past in him now?
Man, I gotta say, like, I see Jason, he's changed in some ways, and then he's not changed much. I mean, like, he's gotten, you know, way more experience now, of course, because he's never ran a brand before that and never owned a backpack brand. But I gotta say, it's still that same guy with the crazy eyes that I met, man. Like, when he's set to do something, he's gonna do it. Like, he hasn't pulled his foot off the pedal. It's going harder down. And if he says he's gonna do something, he's gonna do it. And that's really cool, and that's rare to see. You know, a lot of people that kind of get maybe not lazy, but just a little bit comfortable. Like, okay, cool, I own a backpack brand, we're doing well, I'm just gonna chill out, you know, just let the GR1 sell. But man, they're releasing new products all the time. They're doing all sorts of crazy fun stuff, you know, collabs now, you know, that's a fun one. But yeah, he's still the same as far as I know. Like, he's still got the crazy in his eyes, man.
And collabs are a fun one. I mean, that's kind of one of the reasons why we started talking and put this podcast together, because Careology has one coming out with GoRec.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really exciting. I mean, it's like, it kind of comes full circle to that, like, that hotel in 2008 and here in Austin to now. And, you know, Jason and I, we've stayed in touch since then. And, you know, sometimes it's really short. And, you know, over the years, it's always Jason being like, hey, man, I'm in Austin tomorrow night for 2 hours. You want to hang out? I'm like, dude, I'm like on a plane to Colorado right now. He's like, oh, okay, next time. Yeah, you know, like, ships passing on the night, him and I. And, but we, you know, stayed in touch. And it was really cool to be like, it was at that Careology meetup where him and I were like just sitting and we're having beers. Everyone had left. And, you know, we're sitting in HQ slamming beers before my flight. And like, man, we should do something together. Like, what do you think a collab could be like? Like, yeah, like, what do you, and, you know, it just kind of took off from there. And we jokingly, we called it GR1000. And that's not a Terminator 2 reference or anything. It's, we're just like, okay, we're like dreaming as big as possible. Like, maybe we can make zippers out of titanium. I don't know how that would happen, the coils themselves. Like, how do we do that? That's insane. Like, okay, let's write it down. And like these crazy ideas. Like, I know Jason at the original meeting in 2008, he's like, if I could make this backpack out of steel, I would, but that's not possible. So we're going to use Cordura nylon. So we're like, maybe we make the whole thing out of titanium. Okay, that can't happen. But the nickname came from, this thing's going to cost $1,000 damn. And of course it's not, you know, but that's like, we're like, this is so absurd. We're going to put so much into this that, you know, it might end up costing that. Fortunately, it didn't.
Well, that's good, because $1,000 is, I mean, there are backpacks out there that cost that, but it's a little out of a lot of people's price ranges. Do you have a price for it yet?
We do, but we don't release that until the day of the launch, which will be on May 25th. That's Tuesday. And that's at 4 p.m. Eastern time. And man, people are always, man, we get this a lot. They're like, man, because some of these people that are listening, this will be their first time hearing of Careology and of this collab. But we do collabs with big brands, Mystery Ranch, Evergoods, you know, all really big, awesome brands. And people, like, they sell out in minutes. And like, that's because they didn't make enough. They're making artificial scarcity. That's not the case. You know, this is the most collab packs we've ever made. And I'm officially predicting right now, based on the feedback that I'm seeing, these are going to sell out in less than 15 minutes. And people are still going to be like, they didn't make enough, they did it on purpose. That's not the case. I've been doing this for 15 years, and that's how many the factory can make. You know, like, we can't get enough materials to make more. That's too big of a risk to make more. Like, we could release it in 3 years and have enough, but these things are going to sell like crazy. And it's not some big scam or some plan. You know, it's just the way it is. You know, collabs aren't meant to be a production item. They're limited edition because that's what they are. You know, it's not some hype machine. I've never studied marketing. I don't know anything about it. I just designed a bag with my friend to make it awesome. And there we go. Like, there's no big like scam here. Just there, you know, it's an exciting bag, and we're stoked that people are excited about it. And so that's coming next week, and I'm like afraid how quick they're gonna sell out, just based on what I'm seeing. You know, kind of like looking into a crystal ball, because you don't know. Like, this is the most we've ever made. You know, some of these brands, if we make numbers like this and they don't sell, that brand goes bankrupt. That's it. Cool. Those people can't eat food anymore because they have all these bags sitting on a shelf that now they're broke, you know. But yeah, it's exciting. It's scary too.
Yeah, so like you said, it's releasing, you know, next week on Tuesday, 4 p.m. Eastern time. And then there's also going to be launches the following week. So if people miss out on it that day, on Huckberry and then two other websites. So
correct. The other one is Suburban, and the other one, it's a European retailer or distributor, I guess. And they are called, oh, I'm going to butcher this. It's K-E-U-S, Keus, maybe?
I've got the article up right now. I was leaving the pronunciation to you because I knew I was going to butcher it.
yeah, Keus. Hopefully it sounds maybe German. I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, so they'll be available in very limited numbers. Like, I want people that, if they're interested in getting one of these, I would not rely on those three sites to get it. Like, they're going to have like limited numbers. And like, so if you miss out, you're going to be playing with the big dogs when it comes to that week. Like, you're going to have to probably, I would imagine those three sites will sell out in seconds or minutes. Like, honestly, like 30 seconds to maybe 200 seconds. So your best bet is to get in on the 25th.
That's good to know.
Because I promise there's going to be a lot of people. I didn't know they were going to sell out this fast. Like, I'm telling you right now, they are. So if you're into it, be on the site at the exact minute and be ready to go. Because it's the nature of it. We can't stop it. You know, there's people out there that want it. We made as many as we possibly could, the most we've ever made. And that's just, I don't know. What else we could do. Like, the factory can only make so many, and we're already working on number two. It's called GRX, the product name, like the official, like, this is kind of inspired by military like gear naming. Their system is like all these weird numbers, the RR24X or whatever. So the product number name is the GRXC1, and of course the GR1 is talking about the size of the bag. You know, GR1 is 26 and 21 liter, and you know, it's a single compartment bag. And GRXC2 doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be based off of GRX or GR2. It means it's the second one or the third one or the fourth one, GRXC3. So there's more coming, and we're already looking in the future at what those are going to be. And I got to say, GRXC2 is already in the works, and got some exciting things happening with that one. And that'll be next May. So it's just not something that we're able to revisit and remake and, you know, crank it out. It's not about adding this to GoRuck's line. It's the one-time thing, and now we move on to the next one.
So should we be expecting yearly releases, at least for the time being?
Yeah, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that's the first time that's been revealed, is right here on this podcast. You know, every May, we'll have a new one for you, and it'll be dramatically different. It'll be based off of a different kind of like fictional warrior, or maybe a warrior from history, like, you know, like some ideas like Alexander the Great, you know, like he's a real guy that existed. Or maybe it'll be like some superhero. Obviously, can't, like, if it's a Marvel hero, you can't use their name because, you know, licensing and trademarking and all that. But they'll always be based off of some sort of warrior aspect, like a persona. So that's what each one will be based off of.
So the one that's coming out, you know, next week, the soonest. So that's, it's the GR1. It's going to come out in 21 liters and 26 liters. You're using a fabric that GoRuck has not used in the past.
Correct. Yeah, it's, and this all stems from that fictional warrior. So it's a little bit of storytelling and design in here too. So we're using Dyneema fabric. And this is like, if I'm not mistaken, it might be the thickest one that they use. People are talking about how crinkly it is and all that. That's just not true. It's Dyneema is the strongest fiber on earth, period. That's an actual like statement and fact. And there are some versions of Dyneema that people say it feels like a paper bag. And I actually have two versions here for you. And this is like an ultralight Dyneema. And this is the crinkly stuff. And I'll start crinkling it here. And you can hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the crinkly stuff. That's from a different brand. That's a different company. And then now let me show you the GoRec one. It is here. You hear that?
It doesn't sound like the last one.
Yeah, it doesn't. And like I just played a trick on you. That was a nylon bag. That's the quarter of nylon. Here's the GoRec one. Like it's not this crinkly, like plasticky thing like that. People always say that, but it's the strongest. It has the highest strength to weight ratio of any fiber on earth. So this stuff is from the future. It's like, it's awesome. And it's very, very expensive. It's like absurdly expensive. But the choice to use this material is, you know, we wanted to push boundaries, we wanted to do something interesting and unique. It's super brutal, durable stuff. And it's like, it's awesome. It's lighter weight too. But it came from the idea of this fictional warrior, and his name is Gorilla X, or his or her name. I don't know. Maybe it's a cyborg. And it's this fictional warrior from the future. And so we're like, okay, if this warrior is going to be using this bag and it's going to be based off of them, what material exists in the future? And of course, we don't know that, you know? So it had to be, in our opinion, what is the most futuristic, strongest, craziest, most badass material out there? And it's Dyneema. And this stuff, it's awesome. It's got this like, it's super dark black, you know, it's killer. It's really wild stuff.
I'm excited to see it because I've got a couple bags that are made out of Dyneema, and you know, one of them's from Hyperlite, and they use the crinkly stuff. I mean, it crinkles.
Oh, yeah, that's super thin, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I bet that's probably like a 2 or 3 ounce per meter weight, where this is 6.9 ounces. Like it almost feels, I'm walking back over to it right now, it almost feels like a leather to me. Like it's hard to explain. It's just, it's really cool stuff. I mean, we met up with the Dyneema team, their R&D department. And I told them, I had to explain to them who GoRec was and, you know, what their philosophies are. Like, we don't care about the lightweight aspect. Yes, that's a bonus, but I want the most brutal, tough, insane shit that you guys make. Like, make it like bomb-proof. That's the GoRec philosophy. I want it to be insane. And they're like, okay. You know, they're like, okay, so we have this lightweight option. I was like, no. Forget the lightweight stuff. We want to go brutally thick, you know, as heavy as you got. And they're like, oh, okay, we get it. And they gave us their most insane offering out of all the fabrics that they offer. I have a book of all their different materials. And this is the one. This is the good one.
So how does the weight come out? I mean, obviously Dyneema is a lighter fabric, but I've, you know, never gotten my hands on this stuff before. Is this lighter than the 1000D Cordura Gear one? Is it about the same weight? Is it heavier?
So it is lighter weight, because if I'm not mistaken, the 1000D Cordura nylon with the TPU coating and DWR finish on the front is around 11 ounces per meter. And this Dyneema stuff, which, you know, makes up probably 95% of the bag, is 6.9 ounces per meter. So there is going to be an inherent weight savings no matter what. But I don't have an accurate scale enough here to measure it or weigh it myself. And I'm sure we'll have that listed on the site the day of. But, you know, I don't want to quote a figure and just be off. I have like some bathroom scale. But I'd say my hand weighing method, it feels lighter, definitely.
Yeah, I'm excited to get my hands on it. If people are planning on buying it that day, it sounds like maybe buy it first and then check the weight out second, depending on quantities.
Exactly. I mean, I mean, that, then it's funny, people, they say, like, for all these kinesiology clubs, like, it's gotten to this point where it's like, I'll buy it first and then check it out second. Like, oh, let me go look at what I just bought. And it's just, it's absurd, but it's, again, there's nothing we can do. We make as many as we can. But, yeah, we'll have a wait list. And I'll see if I can find, like, a more accurate, one of my friends is a chef. Maybe I can use a baking scale, because I have a GR21000D here. And yeah, I'll see what I can do. But what do you think about that titanium patch? Did you check that out at all?
I did, and I saw the video, you know, Goruck posted about making the patch. It looks,
yeah,
it's intense.
Yeah, dude, it's the first titanium patch they've ever done and we've ever done. And it's cool. It's designed by Dan Matsuda, he's a legendary guy in the soft goods world. He's a badass designer. He did a bunch of work for Triple Hot Design. Now he's doing his own stuff.
Yeah, he's got his own line of patches, his own line of pouches too, right? I mean, he's got a...
Those pouches slay, man. They sell out every single week. He does a drop every week on these pouches. And they're gone in seconds. He's like, he's famous in his own right. And he's a super talented dude, super great dude. And he suggested we hit up Mark Mummert because it was his idea. He's like, hey, man, this bag is going to be made from Dyneema. And you said it's from the future. And you're going to make an embroidered patch. He's like, that just doesn't seem right. It's like, what if we had Mark Mummert of Mummert Knives, this like legendary knife maker, make the patches out of laser etched titanium? And I'm like, yeah, okay, Dan, that sounds great. Yeah, that's going to be super cheap. And so that sounds great. Yeah, why don't we just, you know, make the whole bag out of titanium? But sure enough, he put us in touch, and Mark was able to hit it on a price point that like didn't affect the price of the bag. And it's like, super cool. And we love the whole story of how Goruck, they're like history of patches. Like they're earned, they're not just given. And that's kind of how these bags will always be. The patches aren't sold separately. They're sold with the pack. You know, it's part of getting in on the collab, and that's the only way to get it. I think that's pretty cool. Kind of like pays homage to that Goruck thing.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear that it won't affect the price of the bag too much, because I did, you know, check out the website, Mummert Knives, mm-hmm. and you know, they sell titanium patches on there 2-inch by 2-inch for $42. And I was thinking,
yeah, exactly.
3-inch by 2-inch. I mean, that's like a whole extra inch. Like how much is going to add to the price of the bag? It's 50% bigger.
Yeah. We were stoked that Mark was able to do it for us. And, you know, he worked together and he's part of the project. So he's, you know, he probably lowered the price for us to be in on it. But he's super awesome to work with and super talented. Those things, they're so awesome. I'm holding one right now. And then like the eyes, when you like move it around, the eyes flash orange because that's our signature color, which is the liner material, which the reason we do that, people are like, I don't like the orange. So it's like, well, it's a functional aspect. Because when you're looking down into a dark bag in a dark area or a dark room or whatever, you're outside, it provides more visual contrast. Like for me, I'm all black everything. Oh, that's all I want. It's all black. But for inside of a bag, orange actually makes the most sense functionally.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, I've used a ton of Goruck bags, but I've used a lot of other bags too. And I've found that when you have that contrasting color on the inside, like, you know, that Hyperlite Daybreak I have right here has an orange inside. I mean, it's just, you can see things a lot better when you're rummaging around the bottom of it.
Exactly, exactly. And like, it's such a, like I said, it's even difficult for me because like everything I own is black. And that's all I want. I want everything black. I want the sky painted black. I want, you know, everything black. But when you're talking about functionally inside of a bag, man, it just works. Like I have my black items. You know, all my gear and accessories are black in the bottom of a black bag and outside in the dark. Yeah, dude, you're not finding anything. But that's why I put it on the inside, not the outside.
Right. So I'm looking at pictures of the bag here. I mean, on the outside, it's all black, except for there is an orange paracord zipper pull in that new sunglass pocket, which is up top. Which I want to talk about in a second. So besides that, you know, that outside pocket has an orange inside, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that slant zipper pocket on the outside. Looking on the inside, you know, we've got orange on the mesh. We've got black mesh, but orange backing it so you can see what's in there. Mm-hmm. You've got nice orange accents on the three rows of webbing on the top. Overall, it looks really slick.
Oh, yeah. And that orange zipper on the outside that we were just talking about, it's cool because you can actually tuck it behind the little rain flap, and then it's all black everything. So, like, it is, you know, it's made to be like this loud little accent, but it's an accent. Like, and you can't even see it if you have it tucked away, which is really cool. But if you want to, you can pop it out and kind of like leave it hang out.
So I've got a question about that pocket. So we first saw those on the GR1 Heritage, I guess, version 2, because they released those, you know, the original Heritage. They were all black. They released 300 of them. Then they came out with the three new colors in 21 liters and 26 liters. Only the 26 liter GR1s had that top pocket. So you're releasing this collab in both 21 and 26. Are both sizes going to have that top pocket or just the 26s?
So yeah, that's something that I was just asked last night in our Facebook group. It's called Carryology Classified. We have about 13 or almost 14,000 members right now. And that's like where you can find all the inside information about all these collabs and stuff. And, you know, we answer questions. And, you know, someone asked that exact question last night. And my response is the 26 liter will have the access pocket, the sunglasses pocket, and the 21 liter will as well. So you got both.
Awesome. So this will be the first 21 liter GR1 that has that pocket.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I mentioned this in the article, but GoRock, they're slow to innovate. And again, in the article, I said the same thing. It sounds like an insult. It is not an insult. It's one of like the greatest things I can say about them. They're slow to innovate because they're very picky about making sure stuff works. And I talked to Jason about adding a quick access pocket probably years ago, if I'm not mistaken. And it's not some original idea or design idea. I'm not taking credit for it because you can be like, hey, wanna add this? You know, it wasn't my idea. But I asked him, say, well, you know, we're working on it and we're not going to do it unless we're sure it's going to work. And they have, you know, rigorous testing procedures that it can't snag once. It has to work perfectly every single time. So if we wanted to present that when we started this talk for this collab, we wouldn't be able to launch this for at least another year. But he told me, luckily, we've already been developing this, so we're able to include it on the collab. And I said, okay, but please, can we put on the 21 liter as well, please? And like, okay, cool, we can do it. Even though they haven't done it yet, you know, it's a small enough design change where it's still the same design. It's not going to affect it functionally. So it's cool that we're able to offer it on the first 21 liter bag. And it works. You know, it's like, I call it, you know, it's a sunglasses pocket, but it's honestly, it's the pocket for the things that you have in your hands at the moment. Like, I don't want to hold these AirPods anymore. Boom, pop them in there. You know, it's whatever you need. A pair of gloves, done. Pop them in there.
It's like a quicker, quick access pocket.
Exactly.
Because I always use that top internal pocket in the GR1 as a quick access. Can you confirm something for me, for those who are listening and don't have experience with this? The Heritage GR1, when they introduced that pocket, they removed the hydration exit port. Can you confirm the hydration exit port is gone for this one too?
Correct. This is gone here because it takes up that space. So you're getting an additional pocket, but you are losing that. And that's, you know, it's a trade-off for some. And like you still can find a way to hydrate yourself, you know, open the zippers or something like that. But it's just constructionally speaking and the way the patterns are worked out, it's just not able to really happen. You know, it's taking up the same exact spot.
I mean, you have to put a hole in the pocket, right?
Yeah, you'd have to like, I'm actually looking at how it's constructed right now. You'd have to like, it'd be, you know, a lot of people, I always hear suggestions, it'd be so simple, just add a hole. And it's like, well, not that easy. You know, the way the patterns come together, it's just impossible. But I think the trade-off is, it's hugely worth it. I'm actually playing with the pocket right now. It's so awesome. It's obviously, that's lined with orange as well. They can see stuff in the dark. But I love that pocket, man. That's like, and that might be one of my favorite parts about the whole bag.
a lot of people listening are really familiar with GORUCK, and they're familiar with the fabrics that GORUCK uses, the 1000D Cordura, the 500D Cordura, even that new 210D that they've been putting on the ruck plate carrier and on the Rucker 3. Mm-hmm. So for people who, you know, aren't as familiar with this Dyneema fabric, I mean, you've gone and given us the listen test, which is important because, I mean, you don't want to sound like there's a crinkly bag following you around, like a plastic bag or something, right? How does the fabric hold its shape? You know, does it stay that nice iconic rectangle GORUCK figure?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the one bag that I'm actually handling, again, this is the super crinkly one, that is not the GORUCK, that I'm holding that bag, and that's from a different brand, and that kind of sags a bit. It doesn't keep its iconic form, but now I have a GORUCK GR1, the 21 liter here, and it's, if anything, it might keep its shape more than the nylon, if I'm being honest. It's like, it's this 21 liter, it's empty, and it's full on, it has the shape. It's that iconic, we call it the gravestone shape.
I never thought about it that way, but yeah, it's a...
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, talking about the toughness of this fabric, I don't know if you've, you know, taken part in a GORUCK event or not. Is this a fabric that you could see being at a GORUCK Light, I guess now the basics, or a GORUCK Challenge? I'm guessing due to the rarity of this bag, there might not be many people who would take them to an event, but how do you think, you know a lot more about fabric than I do. How do you think a fabric like this would hang up to the rigors of an event like that?
Yeah, I mean, so GORUCK is officially endorsing this as a rucking bag, but I mean, I agree with you. I think people, I want people to use every collab we make. And like, that's the goal. We're not making these things precious. That's never going to be, I mean, maybe we'll do it for fun, for like something that's ridiculous, but these things aren't made to be like babied. They're made to be used. And this material, it has some differences than Cordura. Cordura has a higher abrasion resistance, but this is no slouch. Like it's not like, oh, I rubbed up against it. Like some of this material you can try to slice with a knife and it won't cut. Like there's videos, people like stabbing it. It just won't cut because it's essentially the same thing as Kevlar. You know, it's ultra high molecular weight polyethylene, aka Dyneema, which is aka very similar to Kevlar. But, you know, this stuff is extremely strong. It's different than Cordura. But GORUCK is saying, you know, you can use it for an event. And would I tie it to a rope and fill it with bricks and pull it behind my truck at 50 miles an hour? No, but I wouldn't do that with anything. Like, you know, that's stupid. And let me try out my gear. It's like, when are you ever being dragged behind a vehicle at 50 miles an hour? You know, with your backpack? Like, I don't want to be in that situation. But yeah, this will hold up. This is just a seriously durable, crazy material.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm not, you know, recommending that people don't use their bags, but I mean, have you had your hands on the Heritage GR1?
Yes, I have. And I love that bag. I actually have that here at the house.
What's your favorite color between the three?
Oh man, that's so tough.
I went olive, so for what tough. That's worth.
I went olive too, because I love black. That's my favorite pack accessory color or anything color. And my second favorite color is olive. But there's something about the, I think it's the oak. It's the dark oak, I think is what it's called. Like, as soon as I got the olive, maybe it's just like buyer's remorse. I was like, oh man, maybe I just want them all. I don't know. I love the olive. I love the olive. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's really nice, but it is a bag that I would be nervous taking that to a challenge or a heavy or something like that. I just don't know how it would handle something like that. But I mean, obviously it's got its own uses, but that's exciting to hear that, you know, this collaboration, it's at least by GORUCK, it's endorsed for events.
Yeah. 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 I mean, GORUCK, they're like, it's people that, you know, are GORUCK fans. Like GORUCK wouldn't be doing a collab with a brand that they thought was some bunch of jokers, you know, that's like, hey, let's make it out of silk. They'd be like, people know GORUCK, they'd be like, no, we're not going to make a bag out of silk. It's stupid. Like, they know what they're doing. And they're not just in it, you know, to just do something.
You know, so you've mentioned that, you know, price, that's going to come out day of, quantity? Do you know if Gorick's going to release numbers?
So basically the way we work is with serology, people are always, how many were made and how many were, how much, can you send me your W-2 from this year? Like it's no one's business, frankly, like in my opinion, I don't, and because it's a collab, like if the brand says it's okay for us to talk numbers and say how many units are made, okay, sure, we'll tell them. But like, it's not my place to be saying how many are made and like, it feels like people are counting someone else's money. I feel dirty about like saying numbers. Like, so how much does the brand make off of each bag? How much does the material cost? How much are you paying the sellers? It's like, do you ask Nike that? Like, how much does a pair of Nikes cost to make? And you know, it's not my place as a on the collab side to be saying how many are made. But sometimes the brands like to say that, and that's up to them. I ultimately just leave it up to the brand. But, you know, we made enough, but I'll say there's not enough. Like, it's the most we have ever done for any collab. I know it's, like, going to be one of the biggest releases that Gorick has ever done. Yet, I'm guessing minutes. It's hard to understand for me to wrap my head around. There's no plan for any of this. It's just, let's make something cool and special and awesome, and then we'll do it again because it's fun. You know, it's like, this is fun. That's ultimately why we do it. It's like, this is rad. This is super cool. Let's push the boundaries and make something special and get people excited. Like, I don't know how to hype anyone. I don't know how to, people are like, you're a hype machine. I'm like, I don't know what that means. I designed a bag and I took a photo of it. That's really nothing else. I don't have any expertise in that field at all.
So if you're checking out the site and it looks like something you'd like, then it sounds like be on there at that time to buy it. Otherwise,
yeah, I would say be on there at that moment. I mean, you're going to get people, oh man, I was taking a nap. I was sleeping. I had the date wrong on my calendar. And it's like, the way that I say it, I used this example before. It's like when Rage Against the Machine, they're planning their tour, and I was super stoked to get tickets. They're going to open up in El Paso. Dude, I was there the second that they went on sale, the actual second. And I was refresh. Okay, cool. And I went to enter the queue. It immediately puts you in a queue. And it said 48 minutes left, you know, in the queue. And I was like, what the hell? Well, I guess I'm going to wait it out. I'm just sitting there waiting. And then all the tickets sold out. And then within 5 minutes, they're on eBay for $2,000. And I missed my ticket. But like, I'm not emailing Rage Against the Machine being like, yo, I missed out. You need to have another concert for me. Like separate. Like, it's the way things go, man. Like, luck is going to be part of it, but just be there on time and make sure, you know, we're not Rage Against the Machine, but, you know, it's just be there on time, be ready and be fast.
Good advice.
That's the advice I have.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, like you said, the price, it won't be revealed until day of. Do you have an upper bar that you're willing to say? You've already said that it's not going to cost $1,000. Is there an upper limit?
I mean, who knows in the future, like with the GRX C2 and 3 and 4 and 5, like maybe we'll make like 5 bags that are just like a total experiment that are like welded titanium that cost $2,000. I doubt it, but like maybe we just want to do something like totally insane and just like a collector's piece and just stupid, you know, but I don't think so. You know, and that's not my call to make alone, but you know, I can't imagine we'll ever do anything over 600. That seems like pretty high. I mean, I always joked about making a $1,000 backpack, but like we're using one of the most expensive materials on earth right now with this Dyneema, and it's still not that. Like, so we're never going to charge you for something for just exclusivity. That's not how it works. Like Gucci bags and Louis Vuitton bags, I know what those materials cost, and they are made very well. I'll defend them. They're made very, very well in a countries that pay top dollar to their workers, but they're still not dollar for dollar, like dollar for quality and stuff. You're not getting the $2,000 out of that bag. It's not how much it costs to make. With the Gorick collabs, you're always going to get how much it actually costs. Like if it's not just inflated, that's not how that works at all.
I'm reassured to hear that. So most likely won't be over $600.
Yeah, it will not be. It will not be, I promise.
I will try and be there right when it launches to grab mine because it's definitely something that I'd like to get my hands on and test out.
Yeah, I'd love for you to get one, man. Yeah, we're stoked. We're really excited about this one and the first of many.
Fingers crossed. May 25th, yeah. 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. my time.
Yep. You're on the West Coast?
I am, just out of Seattle.
Nice. That's right. Yeah, I saw that on the call. I'm here in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, it was pretty convenient when, GORUCK had their shipping center down here. It was like 20 miles away. Pretty close to Tom Bin. We got some good makers up here.
Yeah, there's some great stuff up there. Like Cary, that's a great spot for Cary up that way.
So is there anything else that, I might have missed? Any questions that I might not have asked about either, this bag, about Caryology, about your guys' collaborations that, you've been itching to talk about that, we might have glossed over here?
Man, great question. Tough to think of questions that I want asked to me. We have a bunch more collabs coming. They're all really exciting. Right now we're focusing on the GORUCK one, and people always ask me what my favorite collab is, which my favorite collab that I'm working on. And my answer is always the same thing. It's the next one. And in this case, the next one is the GORUCK one, because it isn't out yet. And that's my favorite collab that we've ever done. And no disrespect, but the next one that comes out, that'll be my favorite, because they're so exciting and it's so awesome. And it's like an honor and a dream to work with these legends. Like, all these dope brands, this is my world. This is my life. Like, I think of brand owners as like how people think of like Hollywood stars or like professional athletes. Like those are my celebrities or heroes. And I get to work with them and like talk to them like they're my peer. And like, it's I don't understand it. It blows my mind. Like, we're working on something together. This is crazy. Like, that's how I feel about this GORUCK one and Jason. It's like, I get to work on this. It's nuts. Like, it blows my mind. I'm so honored and so happy, and it's so cool to work on these things. And like, and that there's a response that people are stoked on it. Like, we're pushing the boundaries of what Cary can be, and that's the goal. Just to make something special and fun and exciting and awesome.
Yeah, and I've been reading the comments on your Caryology Facebook group, and there's a lot of people excited about this one.
Yeah, that's kind of like the way that I'm kind of predicting the sellout time, is because I don't have a crystal ball. I can't look into the future. We don't have a pre-list made. Like, just based on previous collabs and the excitement and the comments and the likes and stuff, I'm just like, oh wow, this is going to be insane. This one's going to be nuts.
And based on, the way GORUCK is currently selling stuff, their heritage line sold out really fast. At least this one did. The first heritage line was around for what felt like months, but their most recent drop, disappeared really quick. They released, the GR2s again, which aren't even limited edition, and they sold out of all of those.
Yeah, gone instantly.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to watch this. I'll be watching the quantities once I have my order in, and I can breathe easy.
Yeah. I wish the dust had already settled, and just like, it's super, super exciting. I can't sleep for days before these drops. I can't. I'm so, so excited, and I can't explain it. They're awesome. This is the dream. And like, I want everyone who wants one of these packs to get one. There's no plan. We don't want you to get it. It's like, we made as many as we could, but like, it's always that refreshing and seeing when they sell out. It's just like, my heart's pounding out of my chest. I'm like, I need to like drink half a bottle of whiskey afterwards to calm down. Just like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, that stuff can be nerve wracking. Absolutely.
Yeah, dude. It's wild.
You've been spending so much time on this thing and you love it, and you just hope that everyone else does, and it's not,
Yeah, that's all you can hope for. It's like, like democratic design doesn't work. It's like, okay, what do you guys want us to make? You'd be like, a GR, there's literally 100 different suggestions from Bullet to GR1 to GR2 to GR3, and it's like, you just got to do it based on your expertise and your experience and what GORUCK wants to do, like what you think is going to be awesome. And people seem to be into it. They seem to love it. And that's all we can hope for, I guess.
Thank you so much for listening to the All Day Rock Off podcast. This has been episode number 164 with Taylor Weldon of Cariology. Really hope you enjoyed the call with him. I had a lot of fun talking with him. Like I said at the beginning, I ran into him years ago, and it was kind of nice to just reconnect over the phone, see how he's doing, and learn more about this bag, because outside of that one post on Cariology, there really isn't that much information. I wasn't able to get quantities out of him, wasn't able to get price out of him, but it sounds like it'll be under $600, which is quite a bit for a pack. So I will be there at launch date. I will have my credit card ready, but looking at it logically, when it comes to GORUCK, they have free returns. So if I don't end up liking the pack, I could always return it. I guess a lot of people, you know, with the Heritage GR1s, they've been selling on eBay for, when they were first released, upwards of $700, $800, $900. But now that they've tapered off a little bit, they're still selling over $600. So I guess you could always buy this and resell it. But my current plan is to pick one up, see how it is, take a bunch of pictures, and then figure out what to do with it from there. Thank you again for tuning in. Thank you for all the support. I truly, truly appreciate it. If you have any questions or ever want to chat, feel free to reach out to me, Brian, spelled B-R-I-A-N, at alldayruckoff.com. Send me an email. And as always, don't forget, attitude is everything. Keep yours positive. And thank you again for tuning in.